Welcome to the Tom Starr Podcast. Throughout this podcast, I'm going to be sharing with you some real life experiences I've picked up through my career in the industry, sharing with you some lessons that I've learned, and hopefully give you some valuable insights on how you can progress your health, fitness, and career. What's up, guys, and I hope you're having a fantastic week. It is the 21st of March at the time of recording this podcast, and I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to longer days, brighter days, and better weather for certain. We've had a little bit better weather here in York over the last few days or so, a little taste of it, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to spring right now, guys. I don't know about you. So anyway, today I am going to be talking about building a healthy relationship with food. So I don't know if you have ever had any troubles before with your relationship with food, but it is a very, very common thing for a lot of people. So I'm going to go over a lot of different points on how to recognize if you have an unhealthy relationship with food, how to improve your relationship with food. And, you know, guys, this is a serious area that you should really, really be looking into if you are not getting the results that you want. Essentially, if you continue to have an unhealthy relationship with food, then this is going to cause a lot of problems in your journey. You know, you might go through times of this all or nothing mentality where sometimes you're really good with your food and then sometimes you just completely lose it. Now, this is a dangerous mentality to have, because if you always have that, then there is only one way that you will end up, and it's going to be a roller coaster. So firstly, guys, you know, what is a relationship with food? What is a, you know, relationship with food? Because we all have a relationship, some positive, some negative, and it affects the way we live and therefore the outcome of our health, our physique, and, you know, our mental state. And it's important that, you know, when you're on a transformative journey, or, you know, you're looking to improve yourself or get into certain, you know, goals that you want to achieve, you need to make sure it's done safely and in an effective manner, so that, you know, it doesn't cause disordered eating behaviours. Because sometimes you can be making all the progress you want, but you can be damaging your eating behaviours. And as a result of that, your future mindset around food is going to be affected. This can then, you know, lead you to relapse on the progress that you've actually made, and, you know, send you back to square one, essentially. So, you know, when embarking on a transformative journey, whatever that is for you personally, it is particularly important to have a healthy relationship with food, so that you can, you know, change your body in a sustainable manner. So me and my clients, we look for sustainable results that you can keep for life. We want to get results, but we want to keep results for life. And that's what we teach our clients to do, is to live with the intention to be healthier, however, still incorporate a way where we can enjoy the foods that we enjoy, but still make progress towards our goals, because that is possible. You don't have to live in complete restriction, although some restriction is necessary to gain the effective results that you want. So building that positive relationship with food will help, you know, with your physical and your emotional aspects, because you're going to be changing your eating habits and your overall lifestyle through this. So more importantly, it will, you know, prevent disordered eating behaviors. And, you know, this can be amplified if you navigate through a journey like ineffectively. So it's important that this journey, you know, complements your body, your life, and your overall relationship with food, and it doesn't hinder it, okay? So like I say, it's important it's done, you know, safely and in an effective manner, so we don't cause this disordered eating behaviours, because that's just causing more harm than good. And whether you are getting results, do you really want a disordered eating behaviour that impacts you negatively mentally? No, we want to be happy, we want to be achieving results, we want to be looking better and feeling confident about ourselves. But we also want to have a healthy relationship with food, where we eat in moderation. So I want you to just think right now whilst listening to this podcast. And, you know, by the way, thank you for listening into this podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time. But have a think, you know, what does a healthy relationship with food look like to you? You know, how would you know? Can you actually imagine that? You know, how is your current relationship with food right now? What does that look like? Is it negative? Is it positive? Is it a mix? And is there anything, you know, you'd like to change right now with your relationship with food? So, you know, this could be stopping eating junk food, stopping snacking, stopping sugar cravings, stopping binging, alcohol. If any of these things are in your life where you can't control it and your relationship is bad with it, it needs work. And you firstly have to recognize that to actually take the first step in changing it. And what you really need to think of is how much better you will feel if you do recognize that you may have a problem in a certain area. And after that is effectively conquered through, you know, time and work, how are you going to feel after that? How much better are you going to feel knowing you've conquered an unhealthy habit, an unhealthy relationship in some way or another? How much better are you going to feel after that, after you've conquered it? I can guarantee you will feel amazing. But you have to recognize it, you have to put in the work to change it, and you have to give it time. So there are some problems that a lot of people come across, which I'm going to go through. So firstly, most individuals can be unaware of their relationship with food. You know, you are fully unaware of the problems you actually face. So your actual relationship with food is not something that's conscious. You know, you might make decisions to eat certain foods, your habitual choices when it comes to food, how you react to stress, boredom, or tiredness. And you might have also never had an example to, you know, model off, or you potentially could have picked up eating patterns from family, from friends, you know, people in your close circle. And not to mention, you know, messages that you've picked up on social media. So breakfast is bad, you can't eat after 8 p.m, no carbs before marbs, all these types of sayings that go around on the internet. You know, these are statements made, but, you know, over time they can affect what you actually believe to be right or effective eating choices. Not to mention the relationship with them, with yourself, can actually hinder your relationship with food. So if you've got a negative association with your own self-image or identity, this can affect your eating behaviors long term. So your current relationship with food has been formed, and often you can just be unaware of what's actually caused that in the first place. So the next thing is, actually, people come up against this problem that they are unaware of their own emotional state and the inability to manage the problem. Because it's quite common that individuals want to get into shape, want to feel better about themselves, but they search for tactical answers to an emotional problem. So whether you train at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. isn't the issue if you're overeating consistently because you're stressed after work. The inability to manage the stressful emotions is the issue, not the training window time or how many meals you have in a day or how much your macronutrient split is. The emotional issue is the thing that's holding you back. And if you don't recognize that, none of the other kind of tactical stuff is going to matter. And let me tell you guys, from working with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, the majority of support needed is just around the emotional aspect, not around the tactical aspect to, you know, build a better relationship with food and, you know, over time, you know, building these long-lasting results, a lot of it is just around people's emotional needs and eating behavioural issues. It's not around how many X calories should I be focusing on, how much protein should I be consuming in grams, should I be doing a push-pull leg split or a upper body, lower body split. You know, that kind of stuff is great and it's good to teach and it's good to coach people, but the majority of people struggle with emotional issues. And I fully recognise that this can be difficult to overcome and difficult to, you know, even just recognise and own up to the fact that you do have a potential problem with this. It's hard because once you own up to it, you realise that you've got to put a lot of work into changing it. And it seems like a long road. It seems like it could be, you know, very challenging. And, you know, you might say to yourself, I can't do that. I can't change. I'm just too busy to change and to make these changes. I've got too much going on. It's too stressful. And that's just self-limiting beliefs. That's just you telling yourself that you can't do it when you can. And I say this because I have seen hundreds of people do it working with myself and my team. So there is no reason why you can't do it. Now, another problem I see is that, you know, eating environments can impact your eating. The environment you're in can have, you know, a significant impact on your decisions when eating, and in turn affects your relationship with food. You see, if unhealthy foods are just readily available, you're more likely to choose it, especially if you're in a rush. Social situations, if we're around others who overeat, we can adopt similar patterns to them. Advertising, if you're seeing unhealthy foods regularly, this can cause you to crave and think about foods more often. Domino's advert on the TV and then it comes through your letterbox and suddenly you're on the website ordering the large pizza. So, you know, these types of things can really affect how you make decisions around food. And, you know, this can come down to willpower, but it also can come down to how you control your environment. Now, you can take necessary steps to make your environment better. So, instead of keeping that Domino's leaflet that comes through the door and putting it in the kitchen drawer, throw it out. Why do you need it? If it's only going to tempt you, why do you need to keep it? When you go for your weekly shop, do you stock up on crisps and chocolate bars to put in the back of the cupboard? You know, why do you need it? If you're going to put it in your environment, then you're going to eat it. And it's nothing to say that you can't, you know, include these foods into your diet in occasions, but you have to control your environment much better. Because if you know you've got a problem with overconsumption and you buy a large bag of Doritos and a huge Dairy Milk bar, and you know that you're likely to go through that in a fairly quick period, then you're setting yourself up to fail. So why not buy a small bag or a small chocolate bar that you can spread over your week in a small amount in a controlled way? You have to get your environment right and you have to make decisions and you have to consciously think about those decisions to make it easier for yourself. Okay, guys? Because for most, you know, this will be the first time you've actually been brought awareness to what you actually eat and your behaviours. You know, a lot of people don't actually recognise this. So if you've never had like a food journal or a diary or a tracking app, you'll never know your food triggers and what decisions you're actually making. So that is a super important technique that you can use to control this. And another area I see is that, you know, when people do embark on a journey, you can get carried away with extremism. So as you go through your, you know, transformation process, there will be changes being made to your eating, and often you can get carried away with this extremism type of way. So especially if you're not taking like a holistic approach to your transformation, you can just fall to this extremist way of thinking towards your food and develop a poor relationship. And this can also be, you know, the way you track your progress. So if you're constantly checking the scales every day and relying all your success on the scales, and you're not looking at the other metrics, that how your body is changing, how you look in the mirror, how your clothes are fitting differently, how much strength you're building, how your cardiovascular system is improving, how much energy you are increasing in your day-to-day life, how much productivity you've got, you know, the happiness and success that you're actually doing something positive for yourself. You know, there's so much stuff to look at, guys, other than the scales. So this is why, you know, here in my studio, when we work with clients, you know, we look at all areas of our clients' life when, you know, working with them. So we build like an approach into people's lifestyle. So not the other way around. We have, you know, elements of flexibility to ensure that our clients can factor in their social life, their work life, love life and family life, but also achieve incredible results alongside that. So another problem I do see is that, you know, we're all human. We can make poor food decisions, and, you know, this can cause a lot of people to just guilt or shame themselves, and this can affect people's relationship with food. So every day, the average person makes around 200 food-related decisions every day. And these decisions may include, you know, what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, where to eat, with who to eat. So some of these decisions, you know, may be conscious, and others just might be automatic. And we can't expect ourselves to be perfect, guys. You know, we are going to make poor decisions, and going through this process, you know, you will face resistance at times. So it's important to, you know, be able to gain a perspective over this. You know, don't let one meal define your journey. Don't hold so much guilt and shame, or get, you know, caught in patterns of self-loathing, because this is just going to potentially derail you further and further. Just like if, you know, there was a fire incident, there's a clear process to follow. So you need an approach for your personal management and decisions just like that as well. Because if we make poor food decisions, we have a process to help us make better choices afterwards. And that takes away any stress or guilt or shame. And I can also see sometimes that, you know, people find themselves confused, emotional for, you know, physical hunger. And this is basically due to not effectively fueling yourself properly. Because there's a difference between physical hunger and psychological hunger. So situations can, you know, affect this, which can cause you to make poor food decisions sometimes. And this can then, you know, become a habit, and you can rely on those poor food decisions. But you've got to develop a positive relationship with food. It isn't about, you know, more willpower or dedication that a lot of the fitness industry will tell you. It just requires you to understand your own hunger cues more effectively and just become in tune with your body's needs. And people can also have this negative self-image, which can have an, you know, a significant impact on your relationship with food as well. So when you have this negative perception of yourself, it can, you know, cause harmful eating patterns such as emotional eating, binge eating, restrictive eating. So, you know, you need to work on the image that you hold on yourself. Because when caught in this situation, you can find yourself just in a vicious cycle that reinforces negative feelings over and over again. And it's important that we build not only your body and how it looks, but your own image of yourself. And in turn, that will help you build a relationship with food that is much more positive, and a much more positive image over yourself. So I've gone over a lot of problems there, and you know, if you can relate to that in some way, then you are definitely listening to the right podcast. So please keep listening, because now I'm going to tell you what's needed to build a positive relationship with food if you have these problems. So first up, you have to build a healthy relationship with yourself. So think about that. How do you build a healthy relationship with yourself? Do you have any idea? Do you actually know what you need to do, but you just can't do it? You see, you have to develop your own self-awareness of your thoughts, feelings, and decisions, and respect yourself. Incorporate self-care into your daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly routine. You need to nourish your body, your mind, and your soul, and just embrace imperfection in yourself and your efforts. Nobody is perfect. Celebrate your progress, because this is a journey. You will have ups and downs, but you need to take those small wins as you go along. And just develop persistence. You know, lean into your edges and push out of your comfort zone. If you stay within your comfort zone, you're never going to make any progress. So another thing we tell our clients is that, you know, we want them to build a healthy relationship with us as their coach. So you might not have a coach at the moment. You might have a coach. You might never have even thought about getting a coach. But you have to share the good, the bad, the ugly, you know. Know that it's safe and an open space to share anything. Because if you're just holding the good stuff, then you're just, you know, kidding yourself. You need to share everything. And there's no judgment. Well, there's no judgment with our style of coaching. I can't speak for other people, but hopefully not. So there's no judgment from us. You know, we're here to get our clients, you know, the best possible personal and physical results. And we need to do that by co-creating manageable, effective steps that complement their life, not complicate it. And we ask our clients to lean into the education that we provide and, you know, ask questions if they're unsure about anything. You see, what we do in our 90-day success program is I actually run free bite-sized podcasts every single week. So on Mondays, we have a Monday motivation podcast. On Wednesdays, we have a diet digest podcast. And on Fridays, we have a Mindset Matters podcast. You see, these podcasts are all between 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes of really insightful, important bits of information, whether it's motivational, whether it's educational, whether it is around diet, nutrition, or mindset, or physical training. And I'll tell you right now, the clients that listen consistently and frequently get the best results, because they're learning and they're keeping engaged all the time. They're not just doing a couple of training sessions, a few training sessions a week, and then saying fuck it for the rest of the week. No, they're engaged and activated all the time, and this is what gets them results. And the other thing, guys, you need to consider is that you need to build a healthy relationship with the process. So I appreciate that, you know, everybody's on a different journey, yeah? You're not going for a destination that's just linear to everybody else. Everybody's a little bit different. So you've got to believe in yourself. You know, you've got to believe that you're capable of so much more than you currently realize, and ask yourself, you know, what would be the best version of you, and what would the best version of me do? What are the action steps and the habits that the best version of me would actually take? So you've got to practice, you know, compassion with yourself, because your journey will be difficult, and you know, at times you'll need to use the evidence of growth you've achieved to date to help propel you even further. So we've got to set up, you know, the foundations for a healthy relationship with food, right? So it's all good recognizing that you've got an issue with your relationship with food, but we want to actually set up some foundations to create it more healthier, right, guys? Okay, so we're not going to go into like the depths of each single one, but I just want to reinforce a strong foundation for a healthy relationship with food that can occur. Okay, so first up, you want food quantity and frequency. So, you know, make sure you are consistent in managing the quantity and the frequency of the foods you eat. Consistency is king. Next up, we want our food environment to be strong. So, you know, make sure you've got a healthy food environment in place. Keep trigger foods out of sight and have convenient, nutritious foods at your disposal so you can make better decisions. And then next, we want language around food. So when I say this, I mean, pay attention to your thoughts around food and the language that you use. For example, bad food or good food. It's not bad, it's not good. You have less nutritious food, you have more nutritious food, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad or good. You could also say things like, I need this to get by. I can't go X without getting hungry. So this is negative language around food that you need to change. And next, you need to focus on health first, results second. Because it's easy to get caught up on scales and photos and, you know, certain physical metrics. But if we take a health first approach, you will actually have a better relationship with food and your actual journey. And this will have, you know, long lasting results. Because if you feel healthier, if you're improving your inner health and getting the results physically as well, then your positivity is going to grow, your motivation is going to grow throughout your journey, and this creates long-lasting change, guys. And next, there are other little things that you can focus on. So sleep, you know, making sure that you're getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night consistently. Stress. Do you have, you know, a stress management routine? And do you do your best to mitigate stress? Energy. You know, place principles in place to effectively manage your physical, mental and emotional energy. And just having emotional awareness as well. So check in with your emotions sometimes. Do you ever just sit with yourself in a quiet room and just think in your own thoughts? Or have you always got something going on? Are you always scrolling on your phone, watching TV, listening to music, reading a book? Sometimes just sitting with yourself in silence can do wonders. And you need to be realistic with your intentions with your food. So if you've ate poorly for 20 years, that's not going to go away automatically, right? You've got to build small, realistic intentions with your food choices. And you also need to regulate your social media, okay? So, you know, having unrealistic images from people, expectations that are really high, this can just trigger a negative relationship with yourself. And guys, this is only going to grow, unfortunately, in social media. So you really have to regulate what you're watching. And next, guys, you need to understand what's affecting your relationship with food. So I want you to think about these 5 questions I'm going to throw at you right now. So you can write these down on your phone and, you know, have a little longer thought process over it afterwards. But first up is, you know, what is not serving your relationship with food right now? So what is not serving your relationship with food? And number 2, you know, by eating or engaging in negative food behaviors, what is it currently giving you? So by eating or engaging in negative food behaviors, what is it actually currently giving you? Number 3, what's the triggering situation that causes it? Is it environmental, behavioral, or mental? What's the triggering situation that causes it? environmental, behavioural, or mental? And what is the association with that behaviour? What is the association with that behaviour? And finally, how would you now handle the desire to engage in that behaviour? So how would you now handle the desire to engage in that behaviour? So there are five really important, deep thinking questions that you can go away and think about, guys. And what I'd encourage you to do is just sit in a quiet, empty room with nobody around, no noise, and just sit with those five questions for 30 minutes at least, and really start to sink into your own behaviours and take something away from this. Because if you've listened this far, which again, I massively appreciate you listening in, this obviously means something to you. And there's no point listening to this podcast if you're not actually going to do anything about it afterwards. One thing I always tell our clients is that information is great, but implementation is what you actually need. Because there's no point listening to something if you're not actually going to do anything after. And what I want, you know, for all of you guys that are listening to this is to conquer your relationship with food. If I can give you a positive impact on changing your relationship with food, that is going to make a massive impact to your life. And there's nothing more I would love for that to happen for you guys. So next, we want to build, you know, a healthier relationship with food even more. So we need to put a few actions into place now, guys. So first, you need to change the response with the behavior. So we need to change how you're reacting when it happens and every time you do feel the need to overeat or talk negatively about food, that we, you know, celebrate and acknowledge that you've actually changed. And you also introduce what's called a pattern interrupt. So can you go for a walk? Can you go play some music? Can you brush your teeth? Can you affirm to yourself something positive? So when you do think of a period where you want to overeat or make a poor decision, think of a colour. That colour could be blue, it could be calm. And this will help you change your attention and emotional state. And remember, in that moment when the urge is high, the food isn't going to go anywhere. And this is key, guys. By knowing this, it will help the urge to lower, okay? We also want to build a positive platform to explore and develop your eating. So, you know, by having a food journal, a diary, and, you know, what we do with our clients is sometimes checking processes, this gives us the ability to look at our behaviours and work on them with our clients. You see, when we take our clients through their process and their transformative journey, we build them a healthier relationship with food by changing their views and behaviours on it. And that's what I want you to do. And next, I want you to try and focus on performance rather than aesthetics. You see, if you notice that you've got a negative relationship with food, focusing on performance can actually be more effective. And, you know, in turn, you end up building a better relationship because there isn't any pressure. You know, sometimes if you're looking at aesthetics too much about how you look and the image you want to create, if you can switch your attention of success onto performance, you are going to notice so much more positivity. You know, have I lifted more weight than I did last week? Has my 5K time got better than it did last month? Can I complete a circuit in a quicker time with more reps? You know, all these different things that you can look at, there's literally endless amounts. These are really positive things to look at rather than just looking at how you look aesthetically or what your weight says, okay? And, you know, lastly, you know, when making these changes, we need to allow for flexibility. So we have to respect that, you know, you only have so much willpower, right? We all have only so much willpower. So we have to give room for flexibility. Consistency is so good and it needs to be a factor. But some form of consistency is much better than just occasionally great. So if you have two great days out of the week, but five poor days, there's no good in that. We'd rather have you a consistent approach across your weeks, your months, and your years. And this needs to serve you and have, you know, an element of variety to it as well, so you can stick to it. Because for a healthy relationship with food to occur, your day-to-day life needs to flow rather than always being hard graft. So guys, in summary, number one, I want you to set the foundations up for a healthy relationship to occur in your life. So food quantity, frequency, your language, your intentions, and your personal management. Number two, I want you to understand the association and triggers that are causing poor eating habits in your life. Number three, I want you to build a healthier relationship with food by changing the habit, building a process, and focusing on nourishment, allowing for flexibility, and understand it's going to be a journey, okay? So guys, thank you so much for, you know, listening to this. I really do hope it's helped you if you do have a unhealthy relationship with food in some way or another. If you've got any questions around this or if you need any extra support, please do just drop us a message. At the end of this podcast, all our details will be on there on how to message me or the team that work for me. They can definitely help. So please do get in touch with me personally if you need to, and I'm always happy to help. But hopefully that has given you some serious thinking to do, okay? So have a great rest of your week, whatever you're doing, and we'll speak soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to find out more about how to work directly with me, I have various Instagram profiles depending what area you are looking for. We have @TS Personal Training York if you're interested in private or semi-private coaching in my training facility. We have @TomStarCoaching if you want to work directly with me through online coaching. And we have @TSPTAcademy if you are interested in gaining your PT qualification and becoming a fitness professional. So please feel free to reach out via message or through my email, tom@tspersonaltraining.co.uk.